Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
We had a discussion about that last night in terms of more unusual days in terms of international games. It's funny, like it's just the sort of confluence of events this week that it just so happens that there's a massive story developing with regard to the CEO and the board and the sort of power brokers of Irish football at a time when Ireland are playing in Gibraltar in one of the smallest stadiums in international football, where everyone is visible, where there's no hiding place, where you could spend the game if you wanted watching movements to your left or right in the sort of director's area as people were leaving to take phone calls. And even before the press conference started last night with Mick McCarthy, you had the FAI communications person saying, just to let you know, that statement will be coming soon. It was a subplot or even the overarching plot to the entire day when Ireland are playing a game, which in another circumstances would have been maybe the major talking point, but in reality probably ended up being way down the agenda as everything panned out.
There was a sense for, it seems certainly a quotient of the afternoon, that Delaney was leaving the association full stop.
I guess that chatter was going around the place. There is no denying that that's the case. But I suppose probably experience teaches you just to wait for every confirmation and every guarantee that information is correct. So you'd be right to say that was going around the place. Certainly, I think, there might have been an element of probably jumping the gun in terms of some statements that were made on social media from various places with regard to this definitively. However, I mean, they were sort of, they weren't barking up the wrong tree in terms of change coming. But even throughout the game and, during the game, you're obviously hearing stuff. And there was a suggestion sort of around halftime that maybe things maybe weren't as clear-cut as they may have appeared before the game. And then at that point, it was right, well, we need to wait and hear what this statement entails. And sort of before the statement, the minutes before the statement came out, there was this element of, okay, this is what's happening. And so it proved that when we got that 1,883-word doozy.
It sure is a doozy. The executive vice president role, Dan, is a newly created role within the association. And in short, it means that John Delaney will now have responsibility for all UEFA and FIFA matters, including the proposed World Cup 2030 bid, that's with the UK, the under-21 Euro bid with Northern Ireland, and matters pertaining to the Aviva Stadium from an FAI perspective. What's your interpretation of this role? How much power has John Delaney lost here is one of the key questions.
It's a key question, and I don't think anyone really has the answer to it. And I think I'd be speculating if I said that I did. Mm. We've managed to survive without an executive vice president for this long, but obviously it's a role that's cropped up now as part of this governance review, which has been undertaken, the FAI say, over the last number of months with an external sort of consultant offering input and advice and guidance, and they've decided to bring those recommendations forward effectively. It's a new position that it's not necessarily, I off the top of my head, and I could be completely wrong about this, that maybe this particular role is in place in all sorts of associations, national associations around Europe. But it's not one I'm overly familiar with in terms of, people were speaking about sort of Ed Woodward's title and position at Manchester United and how terminology can be used that doesn't take away from the fact that someone still remains the most powerful person there. But we don't know. And this is the thing, there's a lengthy statement, which is the FAI's statement, and that's fine. They're outlining their position and their statement and what's happening. But there's so many questions arising from it, as you mentioned there, that naturally go on related to, power, salary, impact upon decisions that he would have been central to before. As you mentioned, those specific, the FIFA UEFA business and the bids and so on. But so what does he, where does he stand now in terms of, say, that there's a big
transformation of the League of Ireland or changes in the League of Ireland coming soon, if he's involved in that, and many other questions, questions I think that are fair to ask and will have to be asked and answered.
Because in the statement it says that the new chief executive, whenever they hired the new chief executive, and John Delaney, executive vice president, would need to work closely together in a collaborative manner, which could mean all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Who's the boss there in a collaborative manner?
Yeah, it's a fair point. As I said, it's when one of the people that would be collaborating has been, without doubt, the most powerful person in Irish football for the last sort of 15 years, and would have been central to really most major negotiations, decisions, day-to-day business and affairs. The new chief executive, whoever that might be, is probably coming to the table as the less experienced party, of those discussions and collaboration. So I think that's the fair point. I mean, it's a bit like you talk in football where, someone moves upstairs, but they remain at the club when they were the manager.
Yeah.
That's obviously for the newer person. There's complications.
No, there sure are. The whole statement, all 1,800 words of it, there is not a word which references the ongoing controversy about this bridging loan from 2017. And that is the staggering elephant in the room, to say the least. So they paint it as if this was a long thought out and long planned move for the betterment of Irish football, that Jonathan Hall Associates were engaged to review management structures, and that they have said this is the way to go. This is for the betterment of Irish football. You have an executive vice president, and then you have a new CEO, and this is the way to strategically place Irish football in the best possible light. Now, I would wager with you that at no point in the Jonathan Hall Associates document does it suggest that for Mick McCarthy's opening game of the European qualification process, that they have rumours swirling all day that John Delaney is about to leave his position, that there's a statement pretty much on full time, that all of this uncertainty is hanging around the association 3 days out from a huge game for Mick McCarthy and the team, and with an Oireachtas committee appearance looming as well in the midst of all this controversy, which, just 7 days ago, effectively, had John Delaney in the High Court trying to get an injunction. None of this is strategic, none of this is planned, and it really begs the question, what is the story with this €100,000 loan? Because I really didn't see us in this position a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was stated that, a couple of things on that. I mean, it was obviously stated in the statement that there was an FAI board meeting on Friday, when most of the board would have been in Gibraltar, as far as we know. Obviously, people might be travelling now. There's modern ways of communication for having meetings, so you don't need to all be in the same place. But that's sort of a side detail. But I mean, as you say, it's on the eve of a game where there's a lot going on. You can't really claim as such that decision, or it's a questionable claim to say that this decision that was made on Friday was part of just a normal chain of business working events. I mean, I think people out there monitoring this can make up their own minds on that. You know, we know what's going on. I mean, Ray Walsh has been appointed as the interim chief executive. In February, Ray Walsh was appointed as chief operating officer. A statement released at the time about that appointment, which actually said that she was going to be taking up that role from early April. The board of the management looks forward to working with her from early April. Mm. We now have a situation where she's becoming interim chief executive at the end of March. Mm. So this being the part of a long-held plan, you can chip away at that. I know they would say that the review from Jonathan Hall property started in February and so things changed. But the timeline here really cannot be told and outlined without referring to the events of the past 7 days and indeed, newspaper material and coverage both last Sunday, throughout the week and today.
Well, what's the rush? I mean, there's no need, if things are planned out well, there's no need for an interim CEO. Announce the appointment with John Delaney and the new CEO side by side in a far more stable fashion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid observation, in that regard. To announce something on a Saturday night late, a couple of hours after an international match, as you said, like shortly after full time, not even a couple of hours, shortly after full time. Nobody really does things that way if it's part of the plan, I would suggest.
No. We've had confirmation that John Delaney will appear before the Oireachtas Committee. So that's going to happen now on April the 3rd. So he'll be before the committee. There are a number of questions that just really have to be asked, starting with this loan and how it was that the association was in this position, given what the level of turnover was in the high 40s, 46, 47, 8, 9 million at the start of the year.
There
was
49, the Welsh game. 49, 50 million territory.
Okay. Yeah. The Welsh game was in March. So even just in terms of the running of the association, one, how it found itself in that position, and then two, a point the Taoiseach of the country made during the week, why were banking routes not available to the FAI? Who thought that the appropriate action was for an employee to give a loan of €100,000?
Yeah, I mean, unusual is the word, as you said, that the association that deals in such large volumes of money, you know, as you said, and like they've got significant banking relationships quite naturally because of, you know, the size of they were engaged in a process of repaying the bank loan, and it's several times in the last decade they've changed their banking partner, and at times they've secured good deals by doing so, and so on. So you would assume that, you know, a relationship would be there to sort out a situation that arises. I mean, however, we're being left to sort of interpret or read between the lines, or, you know, the FEI statement says that it was a short term cash flow problem that just arose, and that they needed to address it, and this was the way of doing it. It's just an unusual way of doing business, and obviously there's been other reportage this week, particularly in the Sun, related to, I suppose, the timing of the loans being dished out and repaid in tandem with the drawing down of the state funding from Sport Ireland, which is why I think Sport Ireland, as a body, you know, through Minister Shane Ross and maybe other people in sort of political powers, I've actually sought urgent clarification on the details. The FEI said they've responded to them, but we're obviously, when it comes to this hearing, the Oireachtas hearing that you've referenced there, I'm guessing that a lot of the questions that you've raised there will be a central basis of that.
Let's just for a moment very carefully work on the thesis that John Delaney's move to executive vice president is in some way connected with the controversy surrounding this €100,000 loan. And let me state that that is absolutely not what the statement suggests. The statement suggests that this was part of a strategic overhaul courtesy of Jonathan Hall Associates. But let's just say for a second it may be in some way connected to this €100,000 loan. Like, there are still so many questions surrounding it, Dan, because John Delaney has been involved in his fair share of controversies, and there's been plenty of heat in him before and plenty of scrutiny of his position before. I must say, a week ago, I didn't see ourselves in this position.
No. I guess not. I mean, at various times, probably across my time covering, I suppose, FEI business, and which almost runs in tandem with his time as a CEO almost. There's been various flashpoints and controversies, as you said, and over time you become almost conditioned to the flow. There's an initial, what's the term, initial shock or outrage or storm, and then gradually it goes away. You know, he's very comfortable and able to deal with it. The FEI are able to deal with whatever the issue is, and it moves along. I suppose the nature of this one 7 days ago was so unusual that what was different this time, and maybe what's different in terms of the climate that might have changed, given, you know, compared to say a couple of years back, you know, when, for example, the FIFA 5 million thing would have been polarizing, I think, in some ways, in terms of the money they received as compensation, almost in the form of a loan for the Thierry Henry handball incident. It would have polarized opinion, but around that time, John Delaney and, you know, was up in front of an Oireachtas committee, and it didn't really sense to be a massive political appetite to really get stuck into FAI governance matters. Something has changed in the intervening period that has led people to become engaged by this. And what's different in the last week? So you say you didn't envisage this happening 7 days ago, and I probably would agree with you on that. But at the same time, the reaction to what happened 7 days ago, it seems that there's people there now that are asking more questions. That's what's always needed, in my view. Mm. Like, over a long period of time, there's been scrutiny of the FAI and criticism, say, of the governance, the board, the lack of changes on the board, you know, the lack of rotation in terms of the decision-making body.
Yeah.
People who've been there for a long time, you know, over half the board were there in 2005. But sometimes it's just the same voices making these points all the time, and it's not really having much of an impact. You're saying, well, this is something that you would like people within Irish football to speak out, or people politically to get involved and ask some questions. And I think through the details that have come out over the past week, it's probably emboldened people to some degree to come out and say, well, actually, is all of this okay?
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's different about this one relative to storms in the past, when it just seemed like maybe at times it's just the same old people who just might have a gripe with the FAI having a go, which would never really have been my take on it, but that would have been maybe the take of other people in terms of how it was explained.
Well, you think about it, the Genesis report commissioned by the FAI in 2002 was looking for pretty basic reforms to the board, things like term limits and the appointment of two independent non-executive directors. None of those things were implemented. Like, just not implemented, just ignored. There's an 11-strong FAI board, seven men who have served over 11 years, two board members are aged 79, each has served 15 years. Delaney's been on the board 17 years, the youngest board member at 51. And, you know, as there was a piece in the Sunday Times today, Niamh Brennan, a lecturer in corporate governance, said Delaney's control of the FAI was striking. She said, from a corporate governance point of view, the standout feature of the FAI is the power and dominance of a single individual. A principle of corporate governance is that power should be distributed. And she goes on to say, good corporate governance principles suggest that after 6 years, you've gone past your sell-by date. By 9 years, you've definitely gone by your sell-by date. This is very basic and is taken for granted in many companies. And I think we need to look at the board. I know there's limits coming in, but there's a story on the front page of the Times. I wonder how damaging this is, more to the board for me than to John Delaney at this stage. And it's Mark Tighe, front page of the Sunday Times. People may well have seen it by now. John Delaney has been living in houses rented by the association for much of the past decade. The perk was an addition to his annual salary of €360,000. The cash-strapped association has been paying €3,000 a month to rent a house for Delaney in Wicklow from broadcaster Gráinne Seoghaire since 2016. It is understood Delaney has paid benefit and kind tax on the value of the accommodation. Have we seen that in any end-of-year reports under any kind of expenditure?
No, I mean, no, I don't know. We haven't. I mean, otherwise we would have discussed it before. But that's not to say it's not there under sort of cost. And like I suppose the thing about this is there's probably lots of people out there, you know, there's probably lots of companies, you know, who, as part of their arrangements with like their leading executives, you know, there is, you know, be it, you know, an apartment or cars or various things that go with it. And people will say that's normal practice in some shape or form. But I think there's an emotive aspect to this, because a massive talking point over the past decade has been the amount of money that the FAI board have agreed to pay John Delaney. The contract that is paid to John Delaney is a live talking point. It's a contentious talking point, because we know that Irish football has its quirks, it has its problems, it has its, you know, there's been financial issues over the past decade, you know, largely related to probably poor decisions made with regard to the financing of the Aviva Stadium project. And those decisions can be traced back to the board. And yet at the same time, you know, this board have this highly paid CEO who they say is worth that money because he works very hard, and it's fair enough. So when people then read and hear about probably additional expenses on top of that salary, and they look at the amount of money per year, they do the sums in it, and equate that to, say, you know, cutbacks that were made around 2012 time to development officers, to people involved in the game around the country, some of whom lost their jobs. Some of them suffered pay cuts, and this additional expense just it just adds to that. It adds to that whole area. The concept of the FBI paying someone's rent may not be that unusual, but it's just it's the amount involved on top of all the other stuff. It's just damaging in terms of the optics. And again, if you come back to the general point, and I didn't really address the one point in your question, but it does, this all really, it's not just about John Delaney here. It's about the members of the board here who've been at the top table for some time. And we don't really hear a huge amount from them. And they are the ones who've signed off on everything as they would. And they're accountable for any dissatisfaction that people have. It goes to their door as well.
Well, you have to argue, are they acting here in the best interest of Irish football? You know, John Delaney took a big drop in salary. He was on €450,000 in 2010. He's dropped to €360,000 in 2012. You would have to wonder, did the board discuss, might that be an appropriate time to stop with the €3,000 a month in rent? Now, Delaney says the board didn't even want him to reduce his salary because he was working so hard. But like these, the board have to come out and justify this. There's taxpayers' money involved here as well, and not pennies. What are we talking, 40, 50 million over the last decade?
Yeah, no, like substantial sort of state funding, and I don't have the figures to hand, but I mean, there is, I mean, that's why people in Sport Ireland, and that's why people in political parties are entitled to raise questions and entitled to look into their affairs, as much as the FBI is its own body, you know, and has its own, you know, practices and principles and ways of appointing people. Although, as we, you know, the changes to FBI board and term limits now have effectively been enforced by directives from the government related to sporting bodies. So all those long-serving board members that I referred to there, they're all effectively going to be gone from the board by 2023. They're leaving in stages, some leaving sooner than others, just to do with various limits and so on. So the change is happening, but that is change, again, that was driven from outside. Whereas 4 or 5 years ago, in fact, the FBI made internal changes which extended term limits for people, effectively raised age limits and allowed some of those long-serving board members to stay on for longer than they would have been able to initially.
Would I be right in saying that Delaney, now not a member of the board, will not be subject to term limits?
He was exempt from those changes because as a CEO, he was a hired member of staff anyway. So he's not the other people on the board. You see, they technically head up various committees or they represent various. There's a League of Ireland person and you know the respective departments.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they represent. So this is the complexities of it. So I mean, going forward, the executive vice president, for example, his new title, there was no suggestion, unless I'm mistaken, in the statement about, you know, how long you serve as that for. You know, is this for 4 years, for 2 years, for 6 years? I don't think any of that detail was laid out.
Dan, I don't think any of that detail has been laid out.
No, I don't think so, no.
Executive Vice President is a role that we're all learning about all the time here. So it's entirely conceivable that John Delaney will still be Executive Vice President in 20, 30, 40 years' time. That remains to be seen. You throw the whole thing together, even the statement last night, which doesn't wash really, it doesn't ring true. The nature, the timing of it, the controversy which is ongoing, the High Court injunction, the failed High Court injunction rather, last weekend, the revelation about €3,000 a month to rent a house, which is not the biggest issue, but it's all part of a sense that there is a lack of transparency about how this organisation is being run.
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly fair argument to make, I believe. You know, for example, in the last couple of years, say the League of Ireland clubs, through an association they formed, they set about entering negotiations with the FBI because they felt there was a lack of detail provided in terms of, say, the value of the cost of running the League of Ireland, you know, and the value of sponsorship deals and other aspects around it. So that was articulating a view that one section of football felt, dissatisfaction that one section of football felt about the FBI's transparency in that regard. And obviously, these details over that have emerged over the past week, again, raise further questions. Because as you say, you know, in you referenced it earlier broadly that in like 2017, we would have gone to the AGM and sat there and listened to statements from the top about the year that was and how things are running particularly well. And we now learn subsequently that there was obviously a crisis of some kind. And you have to describe it as a crisis if an employee needs to provide a six-figure dig out to his, you know, to the FAI. I
mean, let alone the media. No, Sport Ireland knew nothing about it either. Let alone the media. Ireland knew nothing about it either and publicly asked for clarification.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Sport Ireland, as you said, their statement during the week was quite significant in the sense that they were laying down on the record that they wanted to know more about this because they felt, as the body that distributes state funding, that they should have been notified. So, I mean, that in itself lends itself to questions about, you know, satisfactory levels of transparency.
Yeah. Okay, I saw Niall Quinn in the Sunday Independent marked down as the favourite to get the new CEO position. There's no early contenders emerging beyond Niall Quinn, are there, publicly?
I'd be surprised if Niall Quinn put himself forward for that position from what you said previously.
You don't think he'd like to work in a collaborative manner with the new Executive Vice President, no?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't have him in the shake-up at all, really, in terms of a viable scenario. I think the plan he's got related to the League of Ireland probably is his concentration at this moment in time. And whoever goes in to be the CEO now will have to, through whatever scenario unfolds, you know, scenario A, B or C here, they're going to have to wade through a lot of sort of political tape, you know. And yeah. I just don't see that, from what Niall Quinn has said previously, be something that would be of interest to him. There's names in some ways, like you know, how the CEO position has become this high profile thing that we should know candidates off the top of our head. In some ways,
we should
just be looking. You know, it should be someone that we've never heard of to some degree. You know, that's someone who's got a skill set that is suited to the task of a chief executive.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see it being a high-profile personality role. It's become that. It's been allowed to become that, but it shouldn't really be that. Now, there's names I could throw around, you know, of people who have worked with the FAI at various times, who have gone and taken up various positions in UEFA or with football clubs elsewhere. And, you know, there's certainly people you could mention in that degree that might necessarily mean a lot to listeners. But is there internal candidates there? Well, obviously, I mean, Raya Walsh is going to be in there on an interim basis. So, I mean, that gives you always a chance, you would think, of a longer-term berth there, given that John Delaney was initially an interim CEO before he became a full-time one.
Okay.
So, but the whole Niall Quinn thing, for me, I couldn't see it, no.
Okay. A last point, and I guess it says everything that it's an afterthought. Your thoughts on the game yesterday? I would say, watching on TV, the extent of the win did come through, you know, right from the kickoff when Duffy launched a ball that just seemed to hit a wall. You could see how horrific the wind was, and wind and AstroTurf is a fairly horrible combination. So it wasn't good. I really would be inclined to reserve much judgment or read too much into it. What was your sense being there?
Yeah, I mean, I as I said, I'd add the caveat here that, I mean, a lot of the game was taken up by monitoring other stuff that was going on off the pitch. So
you can tell me more about John Delaney's movements than Seamus Coleman's, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I feel like I, even more so than usual, there might be elements of bluffing involved in providing an analysis, you know, on the display. But what you can say is that the win certainly, like, it was from the minute you walked into the stadium, you were thinking, oh Jesus, this is a bit. I mean, this is living up to the hype. I mean, sometimes you hear of like weather warnings and threats and stuff, which are, and I'd be guilty of this. You know, you hear about weather warning and you write it because you think, well, I mean, that's a story. But you get to the day and you wonder, I wonder, will it really be that bad? But actually, the wind was that bad, you know, and the pitch is really exposed just in terms of where it's situated. And so it was a factor, but is it a factor enough to explain away every aspect of the struggle, I think you'd have to say no. That if anything, like, it was the kind of display which underlined how much work that there is to do here. I mean, I know in terms of the whole succession plan we have, that when the succession plan was laid in place, there was a lot of discussion along the lines of, well, what will happen if Nick McCarthy gets Ireland to the Euros, to the quarterfinals, to the semi-finals, what will happen? I think, you know, I think we can sort of park that line of thought for the moment, because there's a hell of a job to do to get Ireland to qualify for Euro 2020. And I think you watched the game last night and you realise that, as if it wasn't apparent before, but it's particularly apparent now in terms of, you know, some of the questions that lingered before, say the accommodation of Matt Doherty and James Coleman to the same side, that problem hasn't gone away. Sonny Maguire, who we want to lead the team, I think forward, going forward, was probably quite subdued. The circumstances of the game maybe didn't suit him. And you know, the overall pattern of play, style of play, players going back rather than forward, maybe a lack of confidence, a lack of real coherence. McCarthy's only had 3 or 4 days with them, and it was a bit of a difficult fixture to sort of implement a new plan. But I think on Tuesday in the Aviva, where there should be really, you know, pristine pitch, okay, you can have a bit of weather depending on what it's like, but generally, we need to see more on Tuesday, because last night wouldn't encourage you at all.